Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
How important is faith? Let's let the Bible answer. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Hebrews 11, verse 6. There's another scripture that shows us the power of faith. In 1 John 5, verse 4, John writes, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Yes, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Those words from a familiar hymn have their basis in the passage we just noticed. Faith is essential to please God, and it is the means by which we overcome the world. Biblical faith is a conquering faith which allows us to overcome Satan's influence and to inherit eternal life. I want that kind of faith, don't you? What are the components of such a conquering faith? Let's look at four of them briefly. The first is conviction. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith in this way. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The American Standard Version translates it, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen." This inspired definition of faith is filled with certainty. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It is firm conviction of things not seen but known to us by the overwhelming evidence presented to produce that certainty. In Romans 10:17, we're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word gives us undeniable evidence to produce the conviction of things we cannot see and to provide assurance that our hope is not in vain. Thus, conviction is a necessary part of conquering faith. Now, the second characteristic of conquering faith is confidence. Confidence carries with it the idea of complete trust or reliance. Notice Paul's statement in Ephesians 3, verse 12. There he writes, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." Now, the "in whom" refers to Christ. Notice that our confidence is through faith, showing the relationship between complete trust and faith. Faith is not trust alone, but trust is a part of faith. This is where those who advocate salvation by faith alone miss the point. Faith alone, as they define it, is merely trust. Now, trust is a part of saving faith, but trust without obedience is not biblical, nor is it saving faith. James, by inspiration, put it this way, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" You see, James makes it clear that faith can only be seen by action. If there's no action, there is no faith. He continues in verse 19 of James 2, "You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." You see, he's saying, you believe there's one God? Well, that's all well and good, as we might say, to modernize the language. But even the demons have that kind of faith. Even the demons believe and tremble, James says. You see, faith alone is not enough. Now, there is a definition of faith only, if one ever existed. James has given it to us by inspiration. Giving lip service or simply expressing confidence in God and Jesus Christ is not saving faith. In John 12, verse 42, there's an example of some of the rulers of the synagogue who had confidence that Jesus was the Christ. However, the Scripture says they would not confess Him because they feared being put out of the synagogue. Now, were these men saved? Of course not. The passage says they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God, but they had confidence in the Christ. But confidence alone is not faith. James brings us to the proper conclusion in James 2, verse 24, as he writes, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." But what works are they, James? They're works of faith, works of obedience to the commands of God. These works are the very ones for which the Christian has been created, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10. There we learn we were created, if we're Christians, we were created in Christ Jesus. That's when we became Christians. But notice, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Therefore, obedience to God's commands, obedience brings us into Christ by faith. And obedience keeps us in Christ as we walk in those works which God has ordained through His Word. It's just that simple and clear. Oh, that the world would truly believe. Now then, we see in the third place that conquering faith, faith properly understood and applied in our lives, brings comfort. That's another characteristic of conquering faith. It brings comfort. In Matthew 5, verse 4, Jesus in that great Sermon on the Mount declared, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Jesus, you see, promised comfort to those who mourned over their sins. That's the context there, mourning over sins. And the source of that comfort is faith in Christ. That faith is a possession of those who have heeded the word of faith and who have been added to the church of the New Testament. In Acts 9:31, we read, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Now, what is the significance of the phrase, "the comfort of the Holy Spirit"? Well, the Holy Spirit brings comfort by the revelation of God's will to us. And when we accept that word through faith, comfort is the result. All we need to be completely comforted is the all-sufficient word of God revealed to us once and for all by the Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica about the second coming of Christ, said, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. You see, God is the God of all comfort, and His Word provides that comfort. When one obeys the Word of comfort and applies that Word to his life, his faith becomes a source of comfort to himself and to others. Notice what Paul said about the faith of the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7. "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." Paul was comforted and encouraged by noting the faithfulness of his brethren. Now that thought leads logically to the final component of conquering faith. Conquering faith is contagious. Yes, conquering faith is contagious. You see, our faith will naturally lead to the conversion of others, converting them to Christ. A conquering faith is going to compel us to tell others of the Savior. It will cause us to live in such a way as to attract good and honest hearts to the kingdom. And such a faith will cause others in the kingdom to be stronger and more determined to live faithfully, even unto death. Two passages in the Thessalonian letters will demonstrate the contagious nature of conquering faith. First, in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul writes, "And you," writing to these Thessalonians now, these Christians, "you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." Oh, these verses speak volumes about faith's influence upon others. Now, look at another passage, this time 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. There Paul writes, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." You see, Paul was able to use these brethren at Thessalonica as a great example of a working faith, and he used that example to encourage others in the church. Finally, in Philippians 1, 12 through 14, Paul wrote, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Oh yes, conquering faith is contagious. On the other hand, a lack of faith is also contagious, tragically. In the Old Testament example of the 12 spies, we see where 10 of them discouraged the hearts of the people from going into the Promised Land. You see, they lacked the faith to go forward. And Joshua and Caleb, the only two whose faith was strong, could not overcome the faithlessness of the others. Oh, what if the ten had agreed with Joshua and Caleb? There's no question there would have been a different outcome. There would not have been that 40 years wandering in the wilderness as a result of the faithlessness of the people as they listened to the report of the ten rather than the two faithful spies. Conquering faith, what is it? It is a conviction. It is a confidence that leads to obedience, which then brings comfort, and it is contagious as others hear of our faith and see our faith in action. What about your life? Can you honestly say that your life is a life of faith as the Bible describes it? And you see, that's the only definition of faith we need to be concerned with, what the Bible says about faith, how the Bible defines faith. Is your life a life of faith as the Bible defines faith? Is it a life of conquering faith? If not, then change that. Change it now by believing the evidence that Jesus Christ is just who He claimed to be, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father. And then, based upon that conviction, show your confidence by repenting of your sins as Jesus has commanded. Confess Jesus to be the Christ, and then be buried with Him in baptism, as He commanded, to be added to His church, His kingdom. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," Mark 16:16. Yes, one must believe, but one's faith must be the kind of faith that will carry him forward to repent of his sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, and then be buried with him in baptism to be added to his church, his kingdom. Then, and only then, may you go forward by faith, a faith that works to the end, following his footsteps to finally meet him face to face.